You're listening to WYTF. Reducing energy use is not only good for your family's budget, it's good for the climate too. Emissions from home heating account for about 7% of greenhouse gas emissions in Pennsylvania. Now new federal money and state programs are giving people the opportunity to save on their energy bills. With some of the oldest housing stock in the country, Pennsylvania will need the help. Surveys have found that 1 in 4 voters lives in a home that needs a critical repair. State Impact Pennsylvania's Rachel McDevitt has more on a program in State College that hopes to set an example for what can be done.
Aiden Riley's parents are glad he has his own space to race his Hot Wheels in the family's basement rec room. This bonus space is one of the things Eddie and Christy Riley love about their home in State College, which they've owned for a little over a year. For a long time, this modest home seemed out of reach for the family of four. Even though both parents graduated from Penn State and had steady jobs, Eddie in mental health care and Christy as a teacher until she became a stay-at-home mom.
There were several times when we'd look at each other and have the conversation, like, what did we do wrong?
The Rileys rented for years. The rent was manageable, but their heating bills were not. Sometimes it was $500 for 1 month.
It was horrific.
We paid so much, and it wasn't even warm. Like, it was bad. Okay, go.
I would put up blankets to bar off the stairs for the main room.
And we would just heat one room upstairs for me and my son.
And because I would heat one room for everyone.
And it was still so expensive every month.
The Rileys found the home they live in now through the State College Community Land Trust's Energy Plus program. The Land Trust's mission is to promote affordable home ownership in the borough. The Energy Plus pilot program added an energy efficiency component to 12 homes that were built in the 1950s and 60s. For the Rileys' home, the Land Trust added insulation to the attic and basement and installed an electric heat pump-powered water heater. Those improvements reduced the home's energy needs by a quarter. Now the Rileys don't have to worry about whether they will be able to pay all their bills. The family was even able to visit relatives in Florida this spring.
What a gift. I mean, it's been a blessing, a gift.
The Land Trust director, Colleen Ritter, plans to keep a focus on energy efficiency in all the homes the nonprofit buys.
We recognize that it really needs to be at the forefront. And on top of that, I think because if people are buying the houses and the mortgages are affordable to them, but we want to make sure that the house is then affordable to them as well.
Ritter is standing outside the Land Trust's latest project. Work is underway at a 1970s duplex on University Avenue. When I visit, the home looks like it's made from big green Legos. A grid of insulation boards is built around the house like a shell. Karis Taddy is the renovations project manager.
We don't have any of the windows cut out, and that's just to really make sure we seal everything properly, and then we'll cut out once we have the windows.
When finished, this home will be known as a passive house. That's the highest standard in home energy efficiency. All the appliances will be electric, including a heat pump instead of a gas furnace. It's airtight, keeping warm or cool air inside the home. 9 inches of insulation have been added to the outside of the house.
This house is going to be pretty much constant temperature when you think about it that way. So that alone will save tons on energy costs, and it'll be like thermal comfort in your house.
The focus here is on affordability. The Land Trust is listing each home in the duplex for $105,000, while the median home value in State College is around $370,000. There's also attention on using materials that are friendlier to the environment and on the overall carbon footprint of the home. Data from the Energy Information Administration shows that nationally, home energy use accounts for about 20% of emissions. That's directly from heating and indirectly from electricity use. Energy efficiency measures are some of the most effective ways to reduce carbon pollution. The International Energy Agency, which works with countries around the world on energy policy, estimates that efficiency could reduce the building sector's emissions by around 25%. Colleen Ritter hopes the Passive House Project can be something of a model for other nonprofits or governments that want to make homes safe, comfortable, and efficient.
Because we're not going to tear them down and rebuild them. We're not going to build our way out of kind of like a housing shortage. But what we do need to do is to make things sustainable and affordable and energy efficient. So I think that we think of this as like an example of what could be done.
Communities have an opportunity now to look at issues in housing and prioritize efficiency. The recent federal infrastructure law expanded weatherization programs, and the Inflation Reduction Act is giving $9 billion to home efficiency programs, with the goal of lowering energy bills and emissions at the same time. A new state program called Whole Home Repairs is giving millions of dollars to counties to improve homes owned by people with low incomes. Those people often pay up to a third of their pay on utility bills, leaving them unable to make the upgrades that would ultimately save them money and prevent emissions.
What's really nice about the Whole Home Repair Program is that it connects with the work that we were doing.
Pam Adams with the Center Region Council of Governments has been working on proposals to expand the Land Trust Energy Plus program in the area. She's hopeful the new programs will achieve multiple goals.
There is not just climate programs. They have co-benefits, and this can help people afford their homes more.
But there will be challenges. First, people often don't want government involved in their homes, and they may be too busy to realize what the programs do and if they qualify. And then there's finding people to do the work.
The difficult piece is this contractor workforce, because they're all really busy. They can't hire enough people.
Some of the new money is meant for workforce development. Adams says outreach and training will be crucial to make the most of the new programs. Rachel McDevitt, State Impact, Pennsylvania, State College.